Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Preacher and the Miracle Man here on this Tuesday, January 29th of 2019. And I'm your host for this evening, The Miracle Man. I'm so glad to have you wherever you're at. And I hope you're staying safe and warm wherever you're at, especially if you're up here in the upper Midwest, down to like partway into the South. Obviously, in the far, far, far South, like Florida, it's a bit nicer, thank God. But up here in Michigan, our governor has put us under a state of emergency because of these very cold wind chills. We are to have wind chills tomorrow around negative 30 degrees to possibly negative 35 or negative 40. And then a little bit better on Thursday, but only slightly so. The good news is after Thursday, we're going to start to improve a bit, actually, by Sunday or Monday, it could be around 40 degrees. Did you see that? So 40 below to 40 below feels like to 40 above. We'll call it a 75 degree difference, because at 40, if there's a little bit of wind, you'll only be wind chilling at like 35. That's a lot better than minus 40. I still want my 70 and 80 degrees back, though. But I'm not gonna take time on the show to be greedy. But you know, as a matter of fact, it is only late January, so I'm gonna have to wait until March to say that I want the 80 degrees. And have any hope, even in the natural, that it'll come true. You know, because we've had 80-degree March days before. I can remember, like, about 7 years ago now, we had a whole bunch of days, back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back, where it was like 70-plus, remember? Remember that, Bonnie? That was beautiful.
That was
beautiful, but in another way, some people thought it was kind of scary, remember?
Yep.
Yeah.
Because
it ended up messing with some of the apples and stuff, because it went right back down.
Right.
So that's why I would say, you know, have towards the end of the month, a couple of, you know, in the 70s or something would be really nice, but... But right now, we're dealing with the state of emergency in the state. All of the school systems that I know of from here on south are all closed. I'm not even going to bother trying to give a list, all I did last night was just say Midland, Bay City, Saginaw, Flint, Mount Pleasant, which did, so I was accurate there, but I'm not even going to say those, because the bottom line is, if you have a school here in Michigan, it's closed. So I'm not even going to bother taking even a second to mention which ones. In fact, the donut shop in this town is closed. I think you can thank the blowing snow for that one. In a way, I think I personally don't like the cold that much, but I find that if I put my good hat on, my good gloves, my good coat, and cover it up, then it's not as terrible by any means. You know, I don't feel the same bite. You know, but then again, tonight it didn't feel that much below zero yet. That's the thing. Tonight was bad, but it wasn't like what it's going to be. Is that a good way to put it?
Yeah, that's the way to put it. Tomorrow night's
looking worse. And later tonight.
Yes.
Later tonight. So that was basically just a practice, if you know what I mean. But the good news is warm weather's coming. February is going to be here Friday. Sun's going to start being out a little bit longer. Every day it's going to be improved. About a month and a half we'll be changing the clocks forward. We're not going to talk about the negative with that. You know, the hour sleep, because what I care about right now is getting a little more natural heat going. Because this is not cool. Not only do we not like it, our pipes don't like it. So my advice to you would be, those of you here in Michigan, just be smart about this and be safe, be warm, stay warm. If you got to go outside at all, don't go outside without a coat or gloves or a hat. You'll need all three of them, because I'll admit to you, even I myself, you know, if it's 30 degrees out and I'm just going out to the car, I don't always think, if it's only 30 degrees out, no wind chill, I don't necessarily think of, you know, putting on the gloves, putting on the hat. You don't always either, huh? You just put on the coat, zip it up a bit, you know? This time we can't do that, because this, you can take away a good 50 degrees or more tomorrow. So that, and can frostbite in less than 10 minutes, if not careful. But let's get into some good, better stuff, though. Today was bacon hour at McDonald's from 4 to 5. I was not here, though, at the time. Speaking of which, I am live at 1711 South Saginaw Road, McDonald's, across the road from a Kmart. We're southeast of a Disability Network of Mid-Michigan office, and northwest of a Admiral/Marathon gas station. McDonald's wants to remind you that tomorrow the cheesy bacon fries start. And I'm really excited about those. I am. They start tomorrow. And I can't wait to see what those babies are like. We are just going to have to wait and see, as they say.
Wait and see.
We'll just have to wait and see. But it's really cool stuff, and I'm really excited. Pepsi is coming out with this crazy ad about this whole is Pepsi okay thing, because how many of your listeners have went into the restaurant, asked for a Coke, and they say, is Pepsi okay? Well, Pepsi wants to show you that it's more than okay. Well, to that, here's what I say. Pepsi is
different.
That soft drink that is very, 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 very different. It's very different. Would I say it's super inferior and terrible? No. Here's what I will say. Coke is way, 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 way better. And to ask the question, is Pepsi okay? I'll just have to stick with it's okay. That's while they're going to sit there and say it's better than okay, it's the winner, it's the best, it's the champion. No. In my mind, Coke's the champion. It won a long time ago, a very long time ago. In my mind, Pepsi lost badly. Remember I told you it tasted to me like that, man? It lost badly a long time ago. It got itself beat. It got itself beat in my mind. I'm not saying it's bad. It just got beat. And I had to take the whipping, you know? I'll just leave it at that. Coke's the winner. Coke's the winner, big time. And if it was a football score, yes, running clock would have had to have been used. I would say like 49-14 or something like that, maybe. Yeah. Not a mercy, like 49-0 or nothing, but yeah, 49-14. But in my book, Coke is the winner. Coca-Cola is the winner. By the way, it is in the Coca-Cola headquarters city. And so I wonder why they didn't have a Coca-Cola halftime show. And why... Oh, that's right. Pepsi has the deal with the NFL for the halftime thing. Yep. Uh-huh. I wonder how badly Coke's going to be attacked by the Super Bowl people. It's a wait-and-see thing. I know one thing, though. In my mind, Coke's always the best. And I think even in the city of Atlanta, it'll be hard getting a lot of the people to switch. I know there's a lot of people there that do like Pepsi, as is anywhere else. But in the South, you have a lot of Coke fans, and I think most of them, long term, I think it's still just gonna stay the way it is. Don't you? So Pepsi will be famous there for about, I would say this way, it gets basically 5 minutes of fame. A week, but in terms of years, a week is like 5 minutes. And then it's all over, and then the Coke comes back, and it's all good, and everybody lives happily ever after. As there was no world of Pepsi here, just a world of Coke.
Now it's time to say to all the people out there that's on the highway.
I'm going to, dear Jesus, now I'm going to pray right now for those who are on the highway. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray right now over those people who are out there on the highway. Right now, these people who are out there on the roads, from the blowing snow and what have you, I just thank you that you keep them safe and sound. You just stay with them, Lord God. And you just keep your hand on their vehicle, that their vehicle is warm in the name of Jesus, and that it works right, and that these people use wisdom and that there are traveling mercies, Psalm 91 mercies, Psalm 91 protection on these people in everything that they do. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. Now I am going to tell you folks how to tell others how to listen to the show, and then we're going to get into, you know, praying over the show and opening up the Word of God and that. But first I want to say the other plans, and that is we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 9 and then possibly 10, depending on how long 9 is. Then we're going to go to Hebrews 11 and first two verses of Hebrews 12. Then, after we're done with that, for sports, we're going to go talk about Michigan basketball playing that team down south. Then we're going to talk about Michigan State a little bit and the Pistons a little bit. And then that will be it. Well, as far as Super Bowl, we're going to talk about that tomorrow night, and that's when I'm going to make the pick, is tomorrow night's show. But, folks, I want to let you guys know. I want to encourage you, please tell others about this great radio program. I always, just about every show, outline, give the number, so you can not only call in, but also so you can tell others how they can be a part of the show. And I want to remind you, we're believing God to, at the very least, double the amount of listeners compared to what we had January 1st of this year. Well, not necessarily that date, but like around there, you know? Yeah, and we're believing God for it to double at minimum. Then triple. And then once we get there, I'm going to believe God to double it again. What about then? I'm going to ask God to help double it again. And then we're believing God that this is just going to keep growing and growing and growing and growing. Because this is a troubled time, and people need to hear about faith. And God's been dealing with me about making sure that I talk about salvation a little more often and reminding people there is a heaven, there is a hell. What's it going to be? What choice are you going to make? What choice are you going to make? There's going to be a judgment day. And if you don't like that, then you probably don't like the truth. Because someone's got to say it. Because we are going to give an account to God. I'm going to talk a little bit about that tomorrow night. Because like I said last night, God's been dealing with me about some of the stuff. And so what am I going to do about it? I'm just going to obey God. And, you know, until God says maybe focus a little more on something else. Because I believe, and when we're in the Word, this is Spirit-led. That's how we believe in doing this year. So, how to be a part of the show. What you do can do is you can go to blogtalkradio.com on your computer, your tablet, or your mobile phone. Blogtalkradio.com, all one word. You'll see a search bar. In the search bar, you'll type in Upfront Entertainment. After you type that in, you'll see a link that says Live in Large. After you click on that link, you'll see a button that says Miracle Man. We want you to hit that little bubble. Once you're on that, you'll see a button that says, you'll see a little button that says Follow Button. We want you to hit that follow button because then you're going to start getting notified when we get ready to do our shows. For example, tomorrow night, Wednesday, we're going to have our next week shows, same time, same place. And then next week, it's going to be the same way. Praise God. And then after that, you're just going to keep going and blowing. And we have a telephone number where you can call and be a part also. And we can talk about generally whatever you want to talk about. You want to talk with me about sports some? You want to talk about faith? Someone we can pray over? You want to ask me a question about salvation? Then I'll be glad to talk to you about it. We can talk about just about anything you want to, as long as it's not politics. If it's politics, I'm just going to tell you this. Pray for those who have authority over you. The Bible tells us to pray for those who have authority over you. And what I used to say at election time was vote, because if you're not voting, you don't have the right, same rights to complain.
That's right. Amen.
And they'd be yelling, "Why are we going down the tube?" I'd be like, "Well, you're part of why we're going down the tube. You didn't vote. You know, like what? You know, I would say, don't just vote. For the governorship and your House of Representatives, vote for your county, your city, because you don't want your city to go down the tube, do you? People vote the wrong way, it will go down the tube. And I think your voting is one of the things you're going to give an account for.
Mm-hmm. Amen, brother.
And we're gonna give an account to God. But like I was saying, pray, vote. Then you'll be honoring
how
it's supposed to be.
Right?
Amen. And the number you can call to talk to me is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that's 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts and then press 1. When you hear the prompt that says press 1, go ahead and press 1. And you'll be taken through a call screener, and then I'll answer and I'll say, "What say you this evening?" And then you'll have the floor and you'll be able to say as you wish. Prayerfully, hopefully we can get some awesome calls tonight. We're always believing God for that. For great calls to come in. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great radio program. I thank you for these listeners that have made the choice to come on board this radio program to learn of you so that we can be more like you, learn more about you, live like you, walk like you, talk like you, and mean it and not just have a certain posture on Sunday or a list of do's and don'ts. I thank you, Lord, that these people will have ears to hear and a heart to receive what you are saying through these verses, Lord. That, and that we just have open minds, not a cluttered mind. I was going to say something real quick. Do you ever realize that you don't get as much out of the service if your mind's cluttered? Do you ever notice that?
Yeah.
I know I do. If my mind's all cluttered, I don't get nowhere near as much out of it. Lord, I thank you that these people are prepared and ready to focus on you. Not worried about all this clutter, the worries of life, and everything else. But these people are ready to learn of you. And I thank you that you use me as an oracle tonight, Father, as I give you permission to interrupt me in any way, Father, that you so choose. Father, I thank you. I confess over this show right now, increases in listenership are coming to the show, major increases. I'm believing you for more money to come, for money to come into the show, and we're believing you for partners to come into the show, and most of all, we're believing you for salvation to come into this show, come into this program. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that tonight. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. What you doing? Okay, turn in your Bibles with me, please, to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 9. Thank you, Jesus. We're excited about the Word of God. I am, at least. Prayerfully, you folks listening are as well. Man, let's open the Bible and study for a little bit. And we believe, we want you to be a part of the show. So if I sing, you sing. If I pray, you pray. As I'm studying, you study with me. Whatever I do here at McDonald's, you do wherever you are. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. 1 Samuel 9. We're going to begin with verse 1. And there was a Benjamite, a man of standing, whose name was Kish, son of Abiel, the son of Zero, the son of Bichoroth, the son of Athiah of Benjamin. He had a son named Saul, an impressive young man without equal among the Israelites, a head taller than any of the others. Now the donkeys belonging to Saul's father, Kish, were lost And Kish said to his son Saul, take one of the servants with you and go and look for the donkeys. So he passed through the hill country of Ephraim and through the area around Shalema. But they did not find them. They went into the district of Shalim, but the donkeys weren't there. Then he passed through the territory of Benjamin. They didn't find them. When they reached the district of Zoph, Saul said to the servant who was with him, come, let's go back, or my father will stop thinking about the donkeys and start thinking about us. But the servant replied, look, in this town there is a man of God. He, just turning the page, he is highly respected, and everything he says comes true. Let's go there now. Perhaps he will tell us what way to take. Saul said to his servant, if we go, what can we give the man? The food in our sacks is gone. We don't have any gift to take to the man of God. What do we have? The servant answered him again. Look, he said, I have a quarter of a shekel of silver. I will give it to the man of God so that he will tell us what way to take. Formerly in Israel, if a man went to inquire of God, he would say, come, let us go to the seer, because the prophet of today used to be called a seer. Good, Saul said to his servant, come, let's go. So they sent out for the town where the man of God was. As they were going up the hill of the town, they met some girls coming out to draw water. And they asked them, is the seer here? He is, they answered. He's ahead of you. Hurry now. He has just come to our town today, for the people have a sacrifice at the high place. As soon as you enter the town, you will find him before he goes up to the high place to eat. The people will not begin eating until he comes, because he must bless the sacrifice. Afterward, those who are invited will eat. Go up now. You should find him about this time. They went up to the town, and they were entering it. There was Samuel coming toward them on his way up to the high place. Now, the day before Saul came, the Lord had revealed this to Samuel. About that time, this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin. Anoint him leader over my people, Israel. He will deliver my people from the hand of the Philistines. I have looked upon my people, for their cry has reached me. When Samuel caught sight of Saul, the Lord said to him, this is the man I spoke to you about. He will govern my people. Saul approached Samuel in the gateway and asked, would you please tell me where the seer's house is? I am the seer, Samuel replied. Go up ahead of me to the high place, for today you are to eat with me. And in the morning, turn the page, I will let you go and will tell you all there is and all that is in your heart. As for the donkeys, you lost 3 days ago. Do not worry about them. They've been found. And to whom is all the desire of Israel turned? If not to you and all your father's family. Saul answered, but am I not a Benjamite from the smallest tribe of Israel? And is not my clan the least of all the clans of the tribe of Benjamin? Why do you say such a thing to me? Then Samuel brought Saul and his servant into the hall and seated them at the head of those who were invited, about 30 in number. Samuel said to the cook, bring the piece of meat I gave you, the one I told you to lay aside. So the cook took up the leg of what was on it and set it in front of Saul. Samuel said, here is what has been kept for you. Eat, because it was set aside for you for this occasion. From the time I said, I have invited guests. And Saul ate with Samuel that day. After they came down from the high place to the town, Samuel talked with Saul, and before the roof of his house. And they rose about daybreak, and Samuel called to Saul on the roof, get ready, and I will send you on your way. When Saul got ready, he and Samuel went outside together. As they were going down to the edge of the town, Samuel said to Saul, tell the servant to go on ahead of us. And the servant did so. But you stay here a while so that I may give you a message from God. Chapter 10 now. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, has not the Lord anointed you leader over his inheritance? When you leave me today, you will meet two men near Rachel's tomb at Zelza on the border of Benjamin. They will say to you, the donkeys you set out to look for have been found, and now your father has stopped thinking about them and is worried about you. He is asking, what shall I do about my son? Then you will go on from there until you reach the great tree of Tabor. Three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you there. One will be carrying three young goats, another three loaves of bread, and another a skin of wine. They will greet you and will offer you two loaves of bread, which you will accept from them. After that, you will go to Gibeah of God, where there is a Philistine outpost. As you approach the town, you will meet a procession of prophets coming down from the high place with lyres, tambourines, flutes, and harps being played before them, and they will be prophesying. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy to them, and you will be changed into a different person. Once these signs are fulfilled, do whatever your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Go down ahead of me to Gilgal. I will surely come down to you to sacrifice a burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, but you must wait 7 days until I come to you and tell you what you are to do. As Saul turned to leave Samuel, God changed Saul's heart, and all these signs were fulfilled that day. When they arrived at Gibeah, a procession of prophets met him. The Spirit of God came upon him in power, and he joined in their prophesying. When all those who had formerly known him saw him prophesying with the prophets, they asked each other, "What is this that has happened to the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" A man who lived there answered, "And who is their father?" So it became a saying, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" After Saul stopped prophesying, he went to the high place. Now Saul's uncle asked him for his servant. "Where have you been?" "Looking for the donkeys," he said. But when he saw they were not to be found, "We went to Samuel." Saul's uncle said, "Tell me what Samuel said to you." Saul replied, "He assured us that the donkeys had been found." But he didn't tell his uncle what Samuel had actually said about the kingship. Uh-oh, that's bad. And Samuel summoned the people of Israel to the Lord at Mizpah and said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought Israel up out of Egypt, and I delivered you from the power of Egypt and all of the kingdoms that oppressed you. But you have now rejected your God, who saves you out of all of your calamities and distresses. For you have said, set a king. We want a king over us. So now, present yourselves before the Lord to your tribes and clans." When Samuel brought all the tribes of Israel near, the tribe of Benjamin was chosen. Then he brought forward the tribe of Benjamin. clan by clan. And Matry's clan was chosen. Finally, Saul, son of Kish, was chosen. But when they looked for him, he wasn't to be found. So they inquired further to the Lord, "Has the man come here yet?" And the Lord said, "Yes, he has hidden himself among the baggage." They ran and brought him out. And as he stood among the people, he was a head taller than any of the others. Samuel said to all the people, "Do you see the man the Lord has chosen? There is no one like him among all the people." Then the people shouted, "Long live the king!" And Samuel explained to the people the regulations of the kingship. He wrote them down on a scroll and deposited it before the Lord. Then Samuel dismissed the people, each to his own home. Saul also went to his home in Gibeah, accompanied by valiant men. Their hearts God had touched. But the troublemakers said, "How can this fellow save us?" They despised him and brought him no gifts, but Saul kept silent. Let me just check the time. Let's go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than what Cain did. And by faith, he was commended as a righteous man. When God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he was By faith he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of foundation, whose architect and builder is God. By faith Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father, because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as day, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith Abraham, when God tested him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. And the passage, verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was not an ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be known. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger, persevere because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. The Egyptians tried to do. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophet, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, and they refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, and destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. First two verses of chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. 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 Now, talk about what we read. So, when we were looking at 1 Samuel, here's what we had.
We have the same rating we had last year.
Saul lost the donkeys. Yeah, so Kish lost the donkeys. He didn't know where they were, so he sent his son and a servant to go out look for the donkeys. Basically said, go find the donkeys, come back. The servant told Saul about the man of God, Samuel. Saul agrees to go with that. And then Samuel tells Saul, those donkeys you were looking for, they've been found. Now your dad's worried about you. And then Saul gets anointed king over Israel. Saul goes to his uncle's house, but he doesn't tell his uncle about the kingship. He never told his uncle about the kingship. Then at the swearing-in ceremony, he goes and hides. And then they go to look for him, then he comes out. And everyone said, long live the king! As we're going to discover, Saul turned out to be a wicked dude, didn't he? He turned out to be a wicked dude. Wicked, 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 wasn't he? What? He was... What about those lambs and all that? He slaughtered the bad lambs and not the good ones.
No, he was bad.
That's why I said wicked, wicked, wicked. Yeah, he was wicked in the eyes of God. And we're gonna find out that God had to repent that he had made Saul king. Because Saul was not acting very godly. He wasn't. He let the wrong stuff get in him. And he didn't obey God very well. And I mean, when God says, do this, do the lambs, kill these lambs, and not these other ones, he actually lied right through his teeth and told someone about, and told someone, you know, about the lamb thing. Why do I hear lambs? You know? That, I mean, imagine if I did that here. Imagine if I did that here and said, I'm at McDonald's and no one else is here. That wouldn't be telling the truth.
Right.
Someone would be asking me, then why do I hear these other people? You know?
You were fibbing.
Oh, yeah. That's the point. Saul, but that was a much bigger matter than just people at McDonald's.
Yeah.
That was bad. That was terrible. We're going to find out as we read it that Saul wasn't always so great. He was tall, but he didn't exactly do things the right way. He didn't. And the Samuel even outlined the rules. It would be like it'd be like if the previous president were to tell our current president that as part of the ceremony, it'd be like that. You know, or governor, or your city mayor. It'd be like that kind of thing. Like your,
or the judge,
or your judge, or any official like that. Them being told on the outline. He didn't exactly follow the rules all the time. He didn't. Yeah. That spirit would come on him and he'd say, come play more music. You know, until David that, and then he would. And unfortunately, Saul would have that evil spirit, and it would come upon him. And if I wonder, if Saul agreed with that servant who was with him, the armor bearer, to go up there and talk to Samuel, Saul agreed to do that, why didn't he just follow God? Why couldn't he?
Oh. Sometimes people don't do the same with that either.
And that's even if we're with an armor bearer. And then once we're on our own and that certain guy's not there anymore, it's like we're like, oh, guess what? I'm going to do it my own way. People do that to God all the time. They're like, guess what? Now I'm going to go to church once a week. And then pretty soon it's, no, I'm not going to go at all. After all, Sunday morning, I just got Saturday and Sunday for the weekend. So Sunday I'm going to sleep in. So who cares about Sunday morning? Maybe I'll just go Sunday night. Oh, wait a minute. Sunday night? Oh, that's right. I got a football game. Maybe I'll try going Thursday night. Oh, Thursday night? Wait a minute. Oh, wait. I forgot. That's Joey's soccer game. What? That's what'll happen. Huh?
Yeah, that's great.
And then pretty soon, you don't see him in church at all, unless it's like Christmas, Easter, something like that. If they're Christers at all, you might not see him at all. And people do that to God, and
they have to answer to God
someday. And you're going to have to give an account to God for your church attendance. You're going to have to, believe it or not. This is Very true. But, and Saul had to give an account to God. Every one of us is going to give an account to God. Every one of us. Even those of us who were very good in God's eyes. And those of us who are very good, you know what he'll say? Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Karen, my phone was going off. I mean, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Because that's what he says in Matthew when he's talking about the people who had the talent. That's what I want to hear God say. I don't want to be that guy who only had the one talent and then he went and hid, and then he hid the master's money, and he was a hard man. He reaped what he'd never sowed. He was basically a thief. He was not a good guy. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that person. Do you? Do you want to be that person?
No.
Not me. Because guess what? Judgment Day cometh, and we're going to give an account to God, every one of us. And my plan is for him to say, however many talents I had, be like, and you use them to the best of your ability. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Enter heaven. You know? That's what I want to hear God say to me. That's what I want to hear him say. My point is, in order to get that, to hear God, Jesus say that, you have to be obedient. You can't just do, you know, some of your own thing, or just do the part of it that you want to do. God said, do this, and you'll be like, yeah, I'll do this part of it, but what about that other part? You can't do that. Because God does not want partial obedience. He doesn't want that. And he absolutely doesn't want you to lie about it. He doesn't want you to do that. God wants us to come before him with clean hands, pure heart, spirit of obedience and reverence to him, so that we can be led by the Holy Spirit. Not that other spirit that would get on Saul, because that was wicked. Because various times throughout that story, as we read it together, your listeners are going to see. And it says, and the evil spirit came upon him. You know? Various times throughout that story, through those chapters. You'll see that. And then, but what's God going to say on Judgment Day? That's what I'm going to deal with tomorrow night a bit when I exhort. What's God going to say to you on Judgment Day? How you been living? What you been up to? Are you listening to what God is trying to tell you? You know? Can you hear God? That's a good thing to think about. Because sometimes if you're too busy and stuff, sometimes you just can't hear him. And I would hate to have it be, you were not a good servant, you're going to hellfire, and you having to explain to God you know what, God, I didn't hear you because I was busy. I thought I tried my best. That wouldn't be pretty, would it? Or did you? So, my point is, check yourself, tell the truth, because you're going to give an account to Jesus for how you live your life. You're going to, you know, and so with that, and if you're obeying God and keeping His commandments, you're much more apt to get that miracle that you believe in God for. You're way more apt to get the miracle that way. The more you disobey, there are certain things that if you do, Jesus said, there are certain things that God said, if you do them, your prayers will be hindered. That means it'll basically be, you know what, Bob, I didn't hear you. God, I'm believing for, I didn't hear you. You know, if he has to say that, that means there's some stuff going on that shouldn't be.
But if you repent
doesn't just mean say you're sorry. You can say I'm sorry all you want and keep doing it. That's not repentance. Repentance is turning away from it. Detour, turn around the car or the boat or whatever. Turn around that thing you're doing. Stop it. Repent. Then God's going to say, you know what? Oh, now I hear you. Is there? Now I hear you. Now I hear you. You know what? I want to do that for my son or my daughter. Now I'm going to make that happen. And you know, and he'll use whatever he's going to use for whatever you're believing for. You know?
Right.
And so my other point is, if you will be much more apt to get the miracle that you are believing for if you obey God fully and follow the scriptures and not just hear them. You got to do what the Bible says. Can't just hear it. Just like how faith comes by hearing and not reading. Read your Bible all you want. It's good for you. That doesn't get the faith deposited in you. That's why you got to go to, this is part of why you got to go to church. This is why it's good to listen to the word of, if you go to a church where a good spirit-filled church where the pastor puts the word on CD or DVD, get some of those and listen to them. Or go on YouTube. If your pastor's got some of the sermons on YouTube and they're really good ones, go on YouTube and watch them. Build up your faith. Because reading it is great. You get to see it with your own eyes and that. But the faith comes when you hear the word of God preached. So when you listen to me, Miracle Man, by the way, there's a disclaimer here I haven't said in a while, but it's been a very long time. I'm going to say it today, though. I feel like this needs to be said. Listeners, you cannot just go by listening to my show and that be the only faith intake you get. It is very imperative that you find a good, solid, spirit-filled church and get in it. It is very important. This is meant to be a supplement, not a substitute. You can't substitute it. This is not a substitute for a pastor and believers you can shake hands with and rub shoulders with. Not a substitute. It's a supplement. Yes, you're going to get the Word of God. You're going to get some great things here. That's awesome. And from time to time, we sing a song here and there. But ultimately, you need a pastor because there are biblical requirements that God has, like the tithe and other things that require a pastor. Is that a good way to put it?
Very good.
There's biblical requirements that if you want to be a Christian, a true biblical Christian, there are requirements. Like, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse. And that they may be meat in my house there. And there are other requirements. I can give you salvation, and ultimately it's God that saves you, but I can help you get saved, absolutely. But it's Jesus is the Savior. Like I said, I got all kinds of good stuff for you, but I'm not the pastor. I'm not a church pastor. So, just to let you guys know, I am not a, this is a supplement, not a substitute. So, get yourself in a good church. You can go to marktbarclay.com, click on church locator, and find a good spirit-filled church near you. Don't just go around your city looking for a church. Because you don't want to end up in one of those user-friendly, seeker-sensitive churches. No. You don't, because they'll tell you, the Bible's not for today, and all this kind of crazy stuff that is absolutely wrong and absurd. You've got to get yourself in one where the pastor believes the word. Because that's important. He believes the strong biblical doctrines. That's what I'm about. And that's my advice to you. If you're not in a church, get in it. Because you need it. Lord God, I thank you right now for these listeners who came on board tonight to listen to me speak and to learn of your word. Thank you for this exhortation. I know how it was a little punchy, Lord, but it was good. I felt like there were some things that needed to be said. And I said them. And Lord, I thank you that these people, if they don't know you, they'll turn to you right now and give their life to you. And they'll call me right now. If they are not right with you, but they've met you, but they've turned away, I don't care whether it's a little bit or a lot of it. As some people say, a little bit or a lot of it. I don't care. I don't care how bad. My point is, I want to help them get right with you. And I just thank you that these people who are not right with you will get right with you and stay right with you until either their time is up or eternity. And I just thank you that your hand will be upon them. I thank you that these people who are not in church will get themselves in a good, holy, fire-baptized, spirit-filled, born-again house church where the pastor fully believes the Bible and believes in you and believes in dedicating babies and raising good, solid, morally solid families and good, solid Christian believers. And I just thank you that these people will be well fed in you. A good diet of more of you, Jesus. Good. And I just give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as far as a little bit of sports goes, we have Michigan playing that team down to the south in that state.
What state is that?
That one that was straight down 75. You know, we'll play other days. If Michigan wasn't playing them, I would say who it is. On this show, since it's Michigan's most hated rival, I'm not going to say what state it is. You know? So when it's like right before that game, I just say that state to the south, you know? They call us that state up north all the time. They do. Down there in there. I'm not even going to say city names because that would give it away also. Yeah. But Michigan's playing them, and my hope is that they can get a good win tonight. And they lost a buzzer beater they barely got past Minnesota. And partially because of that, I think, is why they're down to number 8. But they're playing tonight at the Chrysler Center. This is basketball. This is basketball, but still, that doesn't mean that they're not rivals.
You're right. I forgot.
They still are. That's why I still wouldn't name who it is.
I thought you were talking about football.
No, basketball. And so, Michigan's playing them tonight.
I know who they're playing.
And then Michigan State, you had them falling to Purdue a couple days ago. But he thinks that if they can just get back on track, Tom Izzo thinks that the Spartans will be in a good spot. They're still number 1 in the Big Ten, and they're still doing a really good job. The Pistons. I don't know what to think as to who they should trade. Should they trade Blake Griffin, or should they trade Andre Drummond? Maybe do you trade Ish Smith maybe instead, and maybe get a better guy in the position where he is, because Andre Drummond is a valuable piece for us. He gets a double double he gets double doubles all the time. But if we could get someone who would be somewhat like that but be a good team player, that's what would be really good for us. Because I'd like to see us play better as a team and get more wins. We need to start winning if we want to get to the playoffs at all. Because as I've said, listeners, a few times on the show, it's been a while since either of the Detroit teams has been in the playoffs. And it's time for one of them to make it because it's not only good for business, it's good for the city, it's good for Michigan if we can get these teams, some of these teams down there doing better again. You can't just always trade your way out. Once you trade your way out, that means time to reconstruct the team, time to rebuild it. Here's what I think these owners and these coaches and those who make the team decisions need to think about. You trade away a player, it's like taking bricks off the building, you know? It's like the bricks coming off. You know, and when you take them off, you got to put new ones on. You know? It's like you got to put some new stuff on. Otherwise, it'll just fall apart. You know? Otherwise, that team will just fall apart. That's why you got to have the right people in there. And it makes all the difference if having the right personnel on your squad is what makes a huge difference. And by the way, folks, this is for any team, even high school, though they don't trade players, but sometimes just the way you align the team. Back in football season, folks, Midland, the first 2 weeks, Midland used a certain quarterback, and it didn't go over so well. They made a quarterback change, and it worked way better. It worked a lot better after they made that change. And it was totally a momentum changer for that team. They only lost one game until the playoffs. One. And that was so good. So sometimes that was just at high school. So just making the right moves can have a huge difference on your team. It can. That's just something to think about. Now, a little bit on the media has been giving Tom Brady a lot of flack. They've been trying to bring up old stuff, you know, about Deflategate and some other stuff and all that. And about that, I say, and to that I say, folks, Deflategate happened 4 years ago for one thing. For another thing, we don't even know if it was him that deflated the footballs. We just know that they were deflated. Another thing, since then, they won another Super Bowl after that. I mean, Deflategate was actually during the AFC Championship game. They won two Super Bowls since that day, including that season. Come from behind victories in both cases. They could have won this past Super Bowl, but they didn't. You can't sit here and say that Tom Brady is not one of the best quarterbacks of all times, because he is one of the best quarterbacks of all time. So I really like Tom Brady, but this other guy for the Rams, he's pretty good too. And tomorrow night, we're going to have the coin flip here on the show tomorrow night. And I'm going to announce the results of it right here on the show. We're going to do it live. And there might be a song to sum it up. I might do a parody, either about the quarterback or about the team. But it's going to be a great night tomorrow night. Folks, until tomorrow, be warm and safe. Yeah. And God first, God always. So long, everybody.